Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Kenyan Wall Street Podcast. My name is Ali Mokaneno, I'll be your host today. So today with us, we have Radhika Bachu, who is the founder of Ndovu Investments. And we will talk about the importance of investments in general and digital investments and how that is shaping Africa and Kenya. And then Radhika will introduce her company, Ndovu Investments, what they do and what they're looking to impact in Kenya and in Africa in general. Hi, Radhika.
Hi, Ali. How are you?
I'm amazing. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you and how did you come to start Ndovu Investments?
Oh, yeah. So I'm originally Kenyan, born and raised here, and I went off to London to study. And from a very young age, I was really passionate about finance and always wanting to use money to create more money so that I could have a better life. So when I graduated from university, I went to work at Deloitte on their graduate scheme, where I joined their investment strategy team, working with pension schemes to devise an investment strategy for them and looking to see how much they needed to pay out for their employees when they retire. So we would look at the money they had today so that we can invest it in a proper way so that when these employees retire, they have enough money to live a better life. So I did a lot of work there around asset liability modeling and a lot of technical stuff. And then I moved on to BlackRock, which is the world's largest asset manager. And there I worked with pension schemes to make sure we were creating innovative solutions that help solve their day-to-day pension problems. Right. And what that did was eventually let us help them provide the everyday person, so the pension person, a better life when they come to retirement. And then recently in November, I moved back to Kenya and I was really interested to understand how people were using their savings to create more money. And what I was actually really surprised to find was that there was a lack of tools to help the everyday person access financial markets. And what I also found was that there was a lack of innovation in the capital market industry. And let's take a step back. I think a lot of people in this day and age have learned how to save. And saving is a great step and it's a great tool to have. But the reality is that African countries generally have high rates of inflation. So that if you're saving your money today in a savings account, you may have 1,000 shillings today, but in 3 years' time, because of inflation, what you can buy with 1,000 shillings today is a lot less what you could buy in 3 years' time. So it's great knowing how to save, but I think it's really important to also learn how to invest that money so that eventually you can create better financial futures for your children, for yourself. Having that lack of tools here that provides the everyday person access to financial markets and helping them grow their wealth, we came up with Ndovu.
I think it's really important that you've talked about your passion and as well as how you've been in different parts of the world working with different investment companies. To that, I have a question. Yeah, how is the culture of savings and investments, say in Africa, different from how it is in the US and in the UK, just based on your personal interactions with different portfolios?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think in UK and the US, there are more traditional ways of saving. And the fact that people are more familiar on a day-to-day basis with stocks, shares, bonds, they are better at thinking about their finances. Whereas in Kenya and Africa, there's actually non-traditional ways of saving. So when I moved back, I'd previously heard about chamas and SACCOs, but actually being more on the ground and doing a lot more research, I think there's such great non-traditional ways of saving together. So people, in chamas come together, save together, and then they might make an investment, which doesn't necessarily happen in the West. It's very much more like individual saving. And they're more familiar with investment platforms and savings, so they can do it on their own. And what's beautiful to see that in Africa, people have come together to create different types of ways of investing. And maybe you can say like it's innovation in its own way. And that's basically the difference. Whereas in Kenya, you would go in groups of people and you'd save together and you would invest. In the West, you very much do that on your own. And in the West, I think the industry is better equipped to help individuals to invest. Whereas in Africa and Kenya, that lags behind, and therefore forces people to come together to invest together.
I think that's a very good point, and I'll talk about more on the difference culture and how it informs your company. Earlier you talked about digital investments and the difference in innovation rather in the African space versus other markets in general. What are some of the innovations in investments that are coming up right now?
In Africa or in the West?
Well, in Africa, in the West, as well as, you know, some other innovations that would come in the future.
Yeah, no, so I guess, first of all, it's really important to timeline where Africa is when you compare it to the West. So if we were looking at the digital investment space in Kenya today, you could say that Kenya and Africa is probably around 10 to 15 years behind US and Europe. And when you compare it to other developing countries like India, the Kenya economy and innovation within this market, you can say, is 5 years behind India. And recently in India, there has been a significant rise in the digital investment space. And there's been a significant uptake of these financial tools in India. So naturally, as countries grow and progress, Kenya and Africa will get to the state that India is today. And you can see that in the last few years, we've seen an increase in companies providing digital lending facilities. But in terms of digital investment options, there's been very little activity. So, you know, in today's landscape in Kenya, if you wanted to invest in the financial market, you would have to go through the manual process of seeking out an independent financial advisor to get some advice. You would then have to manually fill in paperwork, and there's a long account opening process. And then to find that you're actually investing in traditional mutual funds, which have been around for decades. So I think in this digital investment space, the innovation that will come around is in twofold. One is the product. So the Kenyan market especially is filled with mutual funds, which are great traditional products, but in the West, they're better, low cost, more transparent solutions that you can use that do exactly what a mutual fund does. And those are known as exchange traded funds, which are ETFs. So there's still some product innovation that needs to come about. And another thing that is still yet to come in Kenya is more of a competitive pricing for the products that are available in Africa. So when you compare fees and prices to the US and India, Africa fares to be a little bit more expensive. And eventually, when there is more innovation in the digital space, that will force price competition, and that price competition is beneficial to investors because that means you're getting more bang for your money. And actually, what I've seen recently, because of COVID, there's been an increase in the speed of digitization in the investment market, with the local regulator, the CMA, encouraging people to invest online. And then recently, Ali, you must have seen that the Nairobi Stock Exchange recently launched their app, where you can get digital information about the stocks on the Nairobi Stock Exchange, but at this stage, you still can't trade. So, you know, there still needs to be a move to being able to trade online, and that's what Adovu essentially does.
And then we have you guys, yeah? How is Adovu leveraging on digital investments to help sort of improve the Kenyan and African outlook towards investments? And I'm actually curious of how you guys are planning to bring in both product and pricing innovation to bridge the gap in years between, say, Kenya and India and Africa and the world in general. Tell me a little more about that.
Yeah, so the way Adovu was founded, we did a lot of research. So my co-founders and I did a lot of research to understand why are currently savings sitting in savings accounts and not being invested. And we went out and we ran a survey and we spoke to local Kenyans, interviewed them, and we learned three things. So first, we learned that Kenyans would like to invest, but they find it difficult because they don't know where to start and they need advice. Secondly, for those bunch of Kenyans who've already tried investing, they find it difficult to compare options because the information about investment options such as mutual funds isn't easily available. And then lastly, if you get to that stage of where you've overcome finding the right information and knowing where to invest, the minimums required to invest are quite high. And so what Endova is does, it tackles all these three challenges. And it's a micro-investment platform that provides easy access to Africans' financial markets. So how does it work? Endova helps the everyday person understand their personal finances and their ability to take risk by asking a series of questions. And this process is known as robo-advisory. Robo-advisory is actually a digital way of providing financial advice, whereas previously you would have a human financial advisor actually asking you the same questions to come to the same conclusions. And the way we're bringing innovation and bringing down costs is that when you do this process digitally, the cost of doing business comes down. So for example, if you were today to go seek out a financial independent advisor, they would charge you on average 5%. So if you were investing 1,000 shillings today, that 5% would be 50 bob. But through using a digital product like Endovu, that does exactly what a human advisor would do, but we do it using technology, we're charging you 20 bob. So that cost saving is already being passed on to the investor, which is innovation in itself. And what we do is once we help you understand what type of investor you are, we actually aggregate all the mutual funds in the market and we show you, we allow you to compare what would be the best mutual fund that you should go into. And then we allow you to invest small amounts of money into these mutual funds. And the beauty about Endovu is that we really want to change the people's financial literacy levels. And we do that by providing snackable education content along the way. So you're overall improving your understanding of markets, which means that you become more confident and comfortable in investing more money, which then in turn means that you're earning more returns in the long term. And that could mean you're actually, you know, being able to go on that one additional holiday that you wouldn't have been able to go. And it just helps you be more smart with your money and allows you to create a better financial future for yourself.
I think that's really amazing. And you know, whenever you start anything with Robo, my mind just goes way into the future, you know? And just pinging on that, I want us to imagine a situation, yeah? Radhika, mm-hmm. 20 years from now, after digital investments and robo-advisory has really picked up traction in the continent and in Kenya specifically, what is the change that people are going to see? Or rather, what will robo-advisory eventually achieve in the future?
Mm-hmm. So I think, like, I agree with you, actually, Ali. Whenever anybody says robo-advisor, it's like, what's going on? It seems like in the future. But essentially, robo-advisory is just a digital way of providing advice. So it's nothing out of the norm. It's just a digital way rather than a human interaction. And as time progresses and things go on, the one key change robo-advisory will bring about, especially in Africa, is that you do not need to have several financial degrees in order to invest. So it'll just change the way people think of investment and the perception about investment. And it will provide every single individual who is wanting to invest guidance and confidence that they're managing their investments in a correct manner. And the more comfortable, again, people become at investing, it means they'll be more smarter with their money and they'll be allocating more money to financial markets. And this overall in Africa will drive a lot of money to the financial market industry. If you were to look at the market today, there's a lot of institutional money that sits there. But in terms of retail investors, a lot of retail investors invest money in land and in other projects such as livestock, and Uber cars, and it's a very different landscape. What robo-advisory will let you do is have a different tool in your financial toolkit, but giving you access to financial markets so that more and more people will be able to actually participate in financial markets. Secondly, the biggest change it will drive is bringing down costs. Today, when you compare how much you pay for a money market fund in Africa, it's somewhere between 1 to 2%. And that's simply a cash fund, right? And if you looked at what people pay abroad for a cash fund, it's somewhere between 0.2% to 0.7%. So eventually, robo-advisory in Africa will lead to lower fees, which means that investors will be earning more returns because they're paying less. And then lastly, I expect robo-advisory to drive significant innovation in the African financial markets. If I look at the markets where they are today, I feel like the Kenyan market has been doing the same thing as far as I can remember. And when you compare it to the West, it's significantly behind the curve in terms of innovation. And robo-advisory, especially a digital product like Ndovu, will force the current market players. And these are big names, and they have the ability to innovate, but they just haven't been innovating. And I don't know what the reason is, but this will definitely drive them to think of innovation in terms of product innovation, as well as thinking of processes of managing risk better. And that's how I see the landscape of investments changing in the future.
Yeah, thank you so much for it, guys. I think that's it for me, Radhika. Unless there's something else you wanted to add. I cannot wait to see the shift in how people perceive investments in Kenya. And I actually liked how you talked about most of the retail money or money from individuals goes to different projects, and sometimes that limits the investment options. And I cannot wait to see what robo-advisory in general, and specifically Ndovu, has in store for us.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. And I think I'll just leave with one closing remark, is that it is very important that we continue to educate ourselves and become smarter with our money, because that means we are one step closer to eradicating poverty just generally. So the vision for Ndovu is really to help people think about their finances in a more manageable way, so that eventually they can send their children off to better schools, who will then come back and create better jobs, who will then eventually, those benefits trickle down to people at the bottom of the pyramid. And I think that's really important for us, because it's being done in the West. You know, people in the West are becoming more richer, and because they're just being smarter with their money. So why should we not have those same opportunities in Kenya and Africa?
I think that's what people anticipate too. And I don't know. I have a question, really good. You know, things keep coming back in my head.
No, that's fine.
There's this urge to innovate more right now with COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a lot of push, as you said earlier, the NSC now has an app, and CMA is pushing for guys to invest online. What are some of the things in terms of policy which you think might help to fast track innovations in the general investment space in Kenya? This is just top of the head. Just give you opinion. I'd like to hear what you have.
So Ali, I feel like I need to be politically correct because I can have some really left-wing views. But I think the government generally, or like policy change generally, needs to really encourage young entrepreneurs, which they are doing this to be fair, encourage young entrepreneurs to bring innovation. But I think the innovation needs to be led by the key market players today. There are some fund managers who are already thinking about innovation. But what surprises me the most is that mutual funds have been around for years, and ETFs have actually been around for 10 years, but they haven't seemed to come to Kenya yet. And I think we need like the senior leadership at fund managers to drive investment policy where they're deliberately thinking about how to bring better products to Africa. And because these senior leaders have the standing in society, they can really drive that intervention of new products coming into the market that benefit the underlying investor. So as much as it's great for a new startup to bring in new things, and it gives us a lot of white space, what would make me really happy is to see one or two of the larger fund managers bringing in new products, because that forces the entire industry to move in the right direction. And those are my thoughts in terms of policy. It starts with us, and we definitely need to continue to always innovate and do what's right by our clients, and making sure we're giving them the best possible solution that can help them achieve a better financial future.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much, Radhika. Thank you, guys. I think we'll wrap it up at this. That was Radhika Bachu, founder of Ndovu Investments. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Ali. Bye-bye.